Dr. Anthea Sarasota, the CEO of the Governing Body Foundation, on the line. Dr. Sarasota, thank you so much for speaking to us again.
Pleasure. Good afternoon to you all.
Doctor, I would imagine that you have had a very pressurized couple of days.
Indeed. There's a lot of coming and going and waiting and hoping.
I must say, you know, I've spent quite a bit of time with people who are involved in the school world, and to arrange a ministerial address at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, the Monday before a school is, a planned opening of schools, that's leaving it a little late and not giving too much guidance. I don't know how you guys dealt with it.
We've had meeting after meeting, and of course there are many stakeholders, and the ministry has to meet with many of them, and the decisions have been difficult, so the meetings have gone on and on and on. And as you know, the briefing was delayed until today. But last night there was a media release which at least brought some certainty yesterday, rather than, you know, not knowing until this morning whether school was starting or not.
So, Doctor, you represent the public school body, correct?
Yes, we're a governing body association for public schools. We do have some independent schools, but our main work is helping public schools understand the South African school law that is applicable to them.
So just clarify, where exactly are we now in terms of public schools?
In terms of public schools, the 8 provinces are telling schools basically, let's get sorted in the week between the 1st of June today and the 8th of June next Monday. Let us all get sorted out. Let us get our safety provisions in place. Let the teachers get organized, make sure they know what the adjustments are in the curriculum, that they've rearranged their timetables to organize.
Doc, what have they been doing for the past 2 months?
Well, that's the issue. It depends on the schools. You see, Western Cape has got on with its business and it's had the delivery of safety materials and all the other requirements sooner. The problem has come with the provinces where the distribution of these protective equipment has not been easy because of the nature of the provinces, because of the nature of the distribution network and the choice of providers. So teachers have not been able to go back to their schools because they were not allowed to go back until it was safe, first of all, for the principal to collect the materials, and thereafter the school management team, and thereafter other staff, and thereafter only the learners. So the whole process has taken a long time. What have they been doing in the past few months depends on the schools and the resources of the schools. Some of the schools started school again on the 31st of March when school would have begun, and they've been working online. But remember, in our country, it's a small percentage of schools can actually do that. So children have been assisted via television programs, radio stations, to do some kind of learning. But even then, not all children access very much. And this online system is not a panacea. Even in well-resourced families, privileged families, parents have tried very hard to help their children with the online learning. It doesn't work marvelously for many children, especially younger children. Maybe the grade 10s and up have managed reasonably well if they've got a good system and the teachers are accomplished at doing it. So it's really been pretty well downtime for the majority of children in the country. But we need to get things going again, and the sooner we can do that, the better. So the ministry has delayed the return of learners to schools until the 8th. The Western province has made its own arrangements, and they have expected learners back today.
Where does that leave a government school, a public school that actually is ready, has done the necessary, has the protocols in place? Where does it leave them? Are they allowed to open, or has it been gazetted that they aren't allowed to?
That is an open question, and my days have been filled with that question for some time now. Now, on Friday, the directions for the education sector under the Disaster Management Act regulations came out.
Yes.
And those directions said that schools will open for grade 7 and grade 12 learners on the 1st of June. That was one key item. And then there's another key item about the readiness of schools in terms of meeting all the safety requirements. And it would appear that that particular gazette, which stated those directions, would hold sway over a media statement. It's not a popular view, because the ministry's decided, let's get our schools ready, all of our schools ready within this week, and then let us all start together next Monday. Some schools have been ready for some time. They have used their parent bodies. They've used the community to get things going. And they are ready, and they are somewhat annoyed that the date has been deferred. So I'm not entitled to make a legal statement here. The school governing bodies are in charge of the schools in their community, and they will have to interpret the law. And at the present, the gazette that we have from the 29th is the valid. It's the valid thing. They can interpret that. And we do know that some schools have gone back, even though they're not in the Western Cape. And there is a problem, because people will say, well, that's not fair. They were privileged, but it's not entirely true, because some schools that are not in privileged communities have also got themselves together. But there's also an aspect of solidarity with the teachers and learners and other schools. So it's a political
difficult in the context of South Africa. It's never simple, these questions. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Doc, in the 2 minutes that are remaining, I got waylaid because it was just so interesting chatting to you, but I was supposed to speak to you about safety precautions that should be considered with regards to going back to school. Do you perhaps want to address that in the short time that's remaining?
I can. I'd also like to speak about what should parents do. That's another topic for another time. As I said to the person who spoke to me earlier, the safety requirements in schools are no different from other workplaces. So if you go to a mall, if you go to this local supermarket, the same provisions are required. The same provisions that are required for you at your workplace, if you're working in a workplace. So you need the sanitizers at the entrances. You need the screeners. You need people to line up 1.5 meter from each other as they walk past the screener. So schools have marked lines where children should stand. School desks have been placed in classrooms that have been measured very carefully to make sure they are 1.5 meters apart, only one child per desk. The provision of cloth masks for children, two per child. Sanitizer for each classroom, bars of soap. The provision of water is the problem, and that's a sticking point in the country.
Yes, I can imagine.
Not all schools have got running water, and the provision of tankers and JoJo tanks to store water are in the process of being delivered still. So that has held it up for the rural schools particularly. So I would just, it's the measures that you would put in place anywhere else. And we need to teach the children how to wear the masks, not to touch their face, to wash hands frequently, stay away from hugging friends.
Wow. Difficult and challenging.
Yeah. Contact games. You know, you want to kick a soccer ball around. Is that allowed? Is it not allowed?
Dr. Sarasota, I have to leave it there. I'm sorry. We're out of time. It's 5 o'clock and I've got to go to news. But as always, thank you for your lucid, sensible, analysis of the situation, which I really hope was helpful to people.
Good. That's fine. All the best to everyone.